Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 28, 2024. First John.
All right, just to remind you once again that this Saturday, the evangelism team will be going to the Veterans Home in Boulder City to present the Freedom Program and pray that God would prepare the hearts of all those people there and pray for the evangelism team that the grace gospel would be given clearly and accurately, and pray that God might use this to His honor and His glory to bring many sons into glory. That's this Saturday morning, in the morning on Saturday. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible church such as this one, and the freedom to worship You through the study of Your Word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey has an article that applies to what we're studying on Thursday night, temporal security. He says, election years are always pivotal, some more than others. This year especially, the consequences of wrong choices are dire. Both sides tell us so, repeatedly. In the last presidential election, 2020, campaigns for federal offices spent over $14 billion. Nobody here even knows what a billion is. You don't even know what a million is. Some of you don't know what five is. But anyway, $14 billion trying to get their side elected. That's not counting state and local elections, which also add up to big dollars. Most of that money goes to advertising, but I don't need to tell you that. Political ads are already flooding some markets, and it's about to get a whole lot worse. Some campaign ads tout the qualities of their candidate or the candidate's platform. But even more of the advertising dollars are spent to make us afraid of the other side. And it isn't just advertising that plays to our fears. The media want you to click on their election year stories and watch their stations. And one of the best ways to get you to do that is to make you afraid. The concerns, of course, are real. Politicians decide the laws that we must all obey. They set up the bureaucracies that create the millions of pages of regulations that we must also obey. They decide things that have an enormous influence on how we live our lives. As their name implies, politicians set policies. Those policies have a powerful influence on things like inflation. Government policies can destroy jobs and destroy even whole industries. Those policies can be the difference between full grocery store shelves and empty ones. They also have a vast influence on the abundance or scarcity in your own cupboard. Is the medical system slow and unresponsive, even to people with urgent needs? Both sides blame government policy enacted by people put in office during elections. We vote on the people who decide the curricula of our children's schools. Politicians and their policies can be the difference between safety in the streets or chaos. We've seen that bad policies, we've seen what they have done here, and worse, what they have done in other nations. Bad political decisions make disaster possible and sometimes makes disaster inevitable. That makes us feel vulnerable. We are concerned about the wrong politicians getting into office. We fret over the thought of bad people taking charge of our cities, our states, our nation, the world. These things are enormously important. We should vote and be involved. But as consequential as elections are, God tells us, fear not. And he says it over and over again in his word. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because God sees the big picture. You see, God knows who's in control. Jesus Christ controls history. Now you've been taught that here over and over and over again. Jesus Christ controls history. God's not out of control and God's not afraid. His plan is going to work out exactly as he stated it in his word. Someone might ask, but what if a bad person gains power? Well, what if they do? Is God going to hide in a foxhole because he's afraid? Then neither should you. Will he stop being our provider? Will he stop providing for us temporal security in the middle of the devil's world? That's what we're studying right now on Thursday night. 1 John. God has provided temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so you can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. He's not going to stop providing that. That's a guarantee. Are his promises to you dependent on who sits in the Oval Office or on your local school board? Never. Never. Does the deep state have more power than the Lord God omnipotent? Well, that's nonsense. Don't let fear rule your thoughts, even a little bit. Don't fret. Fear not, even when bad people seem to be winning. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, "Do not fret because of evildoers." There's a lot of evildoers out there. Don't be afraid. Fear not. If you consider certain politicians evildoers, then vote against them. But don't be afraid of them. Leave them to God. Live right now in the peace that Jesus Christ happily provides to all of those who believe in him. All right. Well, we're in one of the passages that is absolutely phenomenal, 1 John 5, 11 to 13. We've exegeted 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And that sounds like this in corrected translation. Verse 11. In fact, this is the written testimony that God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. God, in his infinite and matchless grace, has provided two categories of security for the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Temporal security, which we are studying here on Thursday night in 1 John, and eternal security, which we are studying in Romans 8 on Sunday morning. Eternal security is established at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, through the gift of eternal life, and the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth, where we're entered into union with Jesus Christ and share the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who believes in Jesus Christ, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, can never, ever lose his salvation. That's eternal security. And we're studying that on Sunday morning. Temporal security is also established at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, through the imputation of divine righteousness to the believer. At the moment of faith in Christ, God imputes his righteousness to you, establishing a grace pipeline with the justice of God on one end, the imputed righteousness of God in you on the other end, and down that grace pipeline, he sends 40 salvation blessings instantly at the moment of faith in Christ. And every day, from that day right up to today, he sends down temporal security, logistical grace, blessings, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Well, that brought us to study of the temporal security, and we studied the first 11 points. Point one was, when you fail, when you sin and fall flat on your face, make bad decisions, the Lord Jesus Christ has you in his hand. At the moment you believed in Christ, God took you in his hand. Jesus Christ is holding your hand, and he will never, ever let go of your hand. He holds your hand from the moment of salvation until you go home, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. That is eternal security. At the moment you believe in Christ, Jesus Christ is holding your hand. Even when you fall, what happens when you had your children and the little shavers are coming to the across the street and you've got them holding them in your hand and you're going down the curb, they trip and down they're going to go, but you hold them up and they get back on their feet and get across the street, trip on the other side, going down again, you hold them up. Well, that's what Jesus Christ does with you. When you trip and fall because of your bad decisions, your sins, your failures, he's holding your hand and he keeps you holding that, and that's temporal security. That's point one. Point two, there are two key components of temporal security. First of all, the 40 salvation blessings given at the moment of faith in Christ. And secondly, logistical grace, blessing, and support given to all believers, winners and losers alike. Point three, Christians who fail to live the spiritual life still have those 40 salvation blessings that they received at the moment of faith in Christ. Point four, Christians who fail to live the spiritual life still have temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support coming to them every single day to keep them alive in the middle of the devil's world in hope that they will come to their senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and live the spiritual life. And this means God will support and sustain you regardless of how deserving or undeserving you are. Point five, temporal security includes three factors of divine provision: life support, logistical grace, blessing, and divine provision to live the spiritual life. Point six, temporal security is given to the believer down that grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness in us on the other end. Point seven, since the source of all temporal security is the justice of God, this means God is infinitely fair. He is infinitely fair in supporting winners and losers alike. Point eight, we studied the testimonies of temporal security. First of all was the anthropomorphic testimony, Deuteronomy 33:27, which says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." The second testimony, the biblical definition of temporal security, 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, temporal security, logistical grace support, you may have an abundance for every good work." The third testimony, from David. David gives the testimony of old age. Psalm 37:25. David says, I was young, and now I'm old. A lot of us make that same testimony. I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. The fourth testimony is the testimony of the shepherd, found in Psalm 23. The Lord is the one shepherding me, and therefore I cannot lack for anything. I cannot lack for anything. Temporal security. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. Logistical grace. He leads me to waters of refreshment. The fifth testimony is the testimony of Paul, found in Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. All your needs. All your needs. Not the politicians, not the Republicans, not the Democrats, not the pedestrians. I just throw that in there. God will never run out of riches to support you. Temporal security. Who are you trusting in? People or God? Sixth testimony. The testimony from our Lord is addressed to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Then he assured me, my grace, logistical grace, blessing and support, has been and still is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness, and therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me. And then there's the testimony of the prophet Jeremiah, found in Lamentations 3:20-25, which was written while the fifth cycle of national discipline was being administered to the southern kingdom, Judah. And Jeremiah writes in verse 22, because the Lord's great mercies never cease, for his compassions never fail. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then point 9, temporal security keeps the believer alive in the middle of the devil's world. No believer can live on this earth apart from temporal security provided by God. Hebrews 2:14-15. Temporal security plays a fantastic role in keeping winners and losers alive. Psalm 33:18-19. Psalm 56:13. Psalm 116:8-9. Psalm 79:11. Psalm 68:19-20. Proverbs 14:27. And then point 10, temporal security includes four categories of support. It includes life-sustaining support. That's provided by God. God sustains the life of every believer on earth. No believer can depart from this life apart from the will of God. And therefore, all the forces of hell cannot remove one believer apart from God's permission. God also provides all that it takes to support life. Secondly, temporal needs, such as food and shelter and clothing and transportation and time and a job, these are all provided by God. We'll see that in the great not to worry passage, point 11. Point 3, security provision. Your security is from God, and this includes the assignment of guardian angels. You've all been assigned a guardian angel. And that guardian angel has protected you from the time of your salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of times you could have been gone and absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, but you're still here because your guardian angel protected you. I know one thing, I've done some things. When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas, and I was going home after the school year was over, I drove all the way from Dallas, Texas to Spokane, Washington. Drove all the way without sleeping, without a break. Well, I did a lot of sleeping. I did it while I was driving. And I should have been in heaven many, many times. My guardian angel kept me alive, woke me up just when I was ready to run off the road, run into somebody head on, run into a bridge abutment. He kept me alive, woke me up at the right time. I know what's going to happen when I do get to heaven. My guardian angel is going to take me out in the galaxy and beat the living crap out of me. That's what he's going to do. Say, why did you do things like that? I'm stupid, that's why. So we've all been assigned guardian angels. And then fourth, spiritual riches are provided by God. Our portfolio of invisible assets, the 10 problem-solving devices, the unique factors of the church age. It also includes the provision of doctrinal teaching from your pastor teacher, the privacy of your own priesthood, the canon of scriptures, and a local church. They're all provided for you by the grace of God. And then point 11 was the great not to worry passage on eternal security. We ended with that last time. Let's start with that this evening. Matthew chapter 6. So turn over to Matthew chapter 6. The not to worry. Not to worry passage on temporal security. And this Bible class is taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you who have red letter editions, there's a lot of red letters here. In fact, that's all there is red letters. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The Lord Jesus Christ says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than that, than they? Are you more valuable than a bird? Who of you by worrying can add a single cubit to your height? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little doctrine. Little faith is little amount of Bible doctrine in your soul. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ taught, this is one of the greatest passages on temporal security. Now, that brings us to point 12. Point 12 is the a fortiori. The a fortiori, that's Latin, means with stronger reason. A fortiori, with stronger reason. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, first class condition, and He is, at the moment of salvation, He gave us eternal security and He gave us temporal security. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? This is a fortiori passage on temporal security. Point 13. Temporal security for learning the Word of God, for advancing to spiritual maturity. Right in the middle of the devil's world, temporal security, so that you can learn the Word of God, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. All right, let's take a look at this. And some sub-points. One, in the perpetuation of human life, God sustains the believer's life in spite of all of Satan's opposition. See, temporal security is logistical grace, blessing, and support that keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world. The devil's the one ruling planet Earth right now. He is ruling it. He's the one in charge. And of course, you look at the world and it's very obvious that he's in charge and he's shifted gears. But temporal security provides the perpetuation of human life. God sustains the believer's life in the middle of the devil's world in spite of all of Satan's opposition. That's temporal security. And where do we see that beautifully illustrated? Job. Turn over to Job. It's not Job, Job. Job chapter 1. And at the time that Job was living on the earth, he was the greatest believer on planet Earth. The greatest believer. He was a winner believer. He had occupation with Jesus Christ. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He was a winner believer living in the middle of the devil's world. Now, Job 1 verse 6. One day the angels came. In the Hebrew, it's B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God. It's a technical phrase in the Hebrew scriptures for angels. One day the B'nai HaElohim, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them. Of course, Satan is a fallen angel, and he's there before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, and when the Lord asked this question, he knows where he came from, and he's doing this just so that Satan can demonstrate his arrogance, the most arrogant, more arrogant than any angel, any person in all of history is Satan. So the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in the earth," which was his way of saying, "I'm the ruler of planet earth. Me, Satan, I'm the ruler of the earth." Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him." He's the greatest believer on planet earth. "There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless. He is righteous." He is a great grace-righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, a man who fears God, personal love for God the Father, an occupation with Jesus Christ, and he hates evil. Verse 9. "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him, a wall of fire of protection around him, and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But you stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." No, that's what Satan said. He will curse you to your face. Verse 12. The Lord said to Satan, "Very well. Everything he has is in your hands." And by the way, he was not only the greatest believer on planet Earth, he was the wealthiest believer on planet Earth. "Very well, everything he has is in your hand. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." You can take all of the rest, the millions and billions of dollars worth away. You can take his children away, his family away. You can take everything away. But you cannot touch his life. So then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and we have a four-phase assault from Satan. Phase 1, verse 13. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off, and they put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." Now, this four-phase assault happened. Boom, 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 boom. Phase 2 of the assault. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Phase three of the assault. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They got to be strong to carry a camel off, you know. Carried them off. And they put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, phase four of the assault. Notice, have you ever had time when it seemed like just in one day or a couple, everything goes wrong. This goes wrong, that goes wrong, this goes wrong, that goes wrong. Bang, 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 bang. Well, so you have been assembling in a Bible teaching church. You've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You've developed God's problem-solving devices. You have virtue love, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Christ. And therefore, I expect you, when you find those and go through those things, clear the hurdles, and on the other side, you go to God and you pray and give God the honor and the glory. And you won't curse him. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe. He shaved his head. And then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, that's his birth, and naked I will depart, his death. The Lord gave all of these blessings, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And when it says the name of the Lord, the person of the Lord, who and what he is, God in his essence, his attribute. May he be praised. Did he curse? Did he curse God to his face? No. He praised the Lord. That is a winner believer. And in all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. He didn't blame God. The winner believer doesn't blame God. Because he knows God. He knows the essence of God. He knows the attributes of God. He knows God as sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. He knows God. He loves God. He knows the plan of God. He knows the will of God. He knows the word of God. And he praises God. Whether it's time of prosperity or time of adversity, the winner believer praises God. The loser believer curses God. That's a loser. That's a loser believer living out of fellowship with God and Satan's cosmic system. Now, let's keep going on because Satan's not done yet. First of all, he was wrong. He was wrong. Job will curse you to your face. Well, that didn't happen. So on another day, chapter 2, verse 1, the B'nai HaElohim, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord once again said to Satan, where have you come from? And in his total arrogance, Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth, which I'm ruling, and going back and forth in it because I'm the ruler of planet Earth. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is the greatest believer on the face of the earth. He is blameless. He is righteous, a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer who fears God. Personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ. And he hates evil. And he still maintains his integrity. Though you, Satan, incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Verse 4, Satan replied, skin for skin. A man will give all he has for his own life. All he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. Second time Satan said this. He was wrong the first time, and he's going to be wrong this time. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. Temporal security. Keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head, all over his body. And Job took a piece of broken pottery and he scraped himself with it. He scraped all the pus and that out of the sores. He didn't use this for his picture in his Christmas card. Scraped himself with it, and he sat among the ashes. And then these things were a test for him. I'll tell you, the greatest test he had was his wife. Then his wife, old wifey, said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die! Well, thank you, dear. He replied, you're talking like, well, it says here, foolish woman. Not exactly what it says in the Hebrew, but I think the word is bitch, but I can't, no, it doesn't say that. You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not adversity and trouble, suffering? And in all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. He did not curse God. He continued to love God. He continued to praise God. Turn over to Job chapter 5. Now Job was the greatest believer on the face of the earth, a spiritually mature believer, a believer who loved, had personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, a winner believer. Now in Job 5, verse 19, from six calamities he will rescue you. In seven, no evil will befall you. In famine, that's economic disaster. In economic disaster, he will deliver you from death. And in war, from the power of the sword, military disaster. You will be protected from the lash of the tongue. That's social disaster, sins of the tongue. And need not fear when destruction comes, that's violent death. You will laugh at destruction, violent death, and famine, economic disaster, and need not fear the beasts of the earth, wild animal. For you will have a covenant with the stones of the field, that's the ammunition for artillery in war, and the wild animals will be at peace with you. And you will know that your tent, your human body, is secure. This is tranquility in dying grace. You will take stock of your property and find nothing missing, no forfeiture of blessing. You will know that your children will be many and your descendants like the grass of the earth, blessing by association to your family. And you will come to the grave in full age, like a stalk of corn gathered in its season. God's timing is absolutely perfect. We have examined this, and it is true, so hear it and apply it to yourself. So in the perpetuation of human life, God sustains the believer's life in spite of all of Satan's opposition. Temporal security, Job 1, 6 to 2:10, Job 5, 19 to 27, subpoint 2. The formation and preservation of the God-breathed scriptures includes inspiration and the faithfulness of God. You can have absolute confidence in God and in the Word of God. You can't have, don't put your confidence in man, don't put your confidence in people, don't put your confidence in politicians. But you can put absolute confidence in God and in the Word of God. Subpoint 3. The laws of divine establishment provide freedom. Freedom and authority as a part of temporal security. Freedom and authority as a part of temporal security. Freedom is the basis for resolving the angelic conflict. Freedom is an extension of the volition of your soul. You are free to use your volition to succeed, to live the spiritual life, to attain spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. And you are also free to fail, to live the carnal reversionistic life in Satan's cosmic system. Freedom is the opportunity for you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Freedom is the opportunity for you to find a sound Bible teaching church and to get in there. And you have a choice. You're free to come here and get the teaching of the Word face to face or at home. The best place, by far the best place, is face-to-face teaching of the Word of God. Not non-face-to-face. That's okay, but that's all it is. Okay, but it's not the best. The best is face-to-face teaching of the Word of God. Freedom without authority is anarchy. Authority without freedom is tyranny. Subpoint 4. God has given divine authorization to the local church. The local church is the classroom for learning the Word of God. God has given divine authorization to the local church as the classroom for learning the Word of God. Subpoint 5. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is provided for the believer so that he can grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and attain spiritual maturity. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is provided for the believer so he can grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and attain spiritual maturity, and thereby glorify God to the maximum. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles. That was a temporary spiritual gift. There are no apostles today. And some as prophets. That was another temporary spiritual gift. There are no prophets today. And some as evangelists. That's a permanent spiritual gift. And some as pastor teacher. That's one gift. Pastor teacher. And that's a permanent spiritual gift. And then he gives the reason for this last one, pastor teacher. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up, the edification of the body of Christ. Edification, that's so that you can grow up to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. To the building up, the edification of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the epinosis knowledge of the Son of God, occupation with Jesus Christ, to a mature man, spiritual maturity, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So that, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of false doctrine and false teaching, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Verse 15. But the speaking of the teaching of the absolute truth, aletheuo is the verb, the teaching of the absolute truth in love, virtue love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. The joint is the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, supplying the word of God to you, teaching you the grace and truth of God's word, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth, the spiritual momentum and growth of the body, for the building up of itself in virtue, love, and that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. What's the ultimate objective for you to be here, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart? That's the ultimate objective for each one of us. Subpoint 6. The royal priesthood of the believer is provided for your privacy. Provided for your privacy. This enables you to live your life as unto the Lord. Every one of us are a royal priest, to live our life as unto the Lord. Subpoint 7, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit provides the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit so that you can learn, believe the Word of God, so that you can live the spiritual life God has provided for us in the church age, so that you can attain spiritual maturity, so that you can glorify God to the maximum. All right, that's temporal security. So we've nailed down temporal security in our Thursday night class, 1 John. Sunday morning, we're going to nail down eternal security in Romans chapter 8. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, amen.